Good morning. Welcome, everybody.
Good morning.
I have a couple announcements to make. The first one's to remind you, on March 2nd, we're going to have the 25th anniversary of our congregation. It's a Saturday night service followed by the celebration. How many are here are coming? Put your hand up. Okay, I figured over 100, so we're doing okay. You see these cards are on the table. You might take, if you know somebody who's not come, who used to be part of the congregation, take one of these cards and give it to them if you know where they're at. I'm having a hard time finding addresses of older people or people who've been around. Trying to find some charter members. I don't know how many is alive yet or still. Besides that, my other announcements on the last Sunday in March, we're doing Grace Lutheran breakfast again. This one's a little bit challenged. It's on Easter Sunday. And we need about 8 people for that, so 8 or 10 people. So I got a sign-up sheet back here if you take the time. Usually we're done by 8:30 and back here in time. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Welcome to everyone worshiping here in the sanctuary and those at home online. Before the announcements, I would like everyone to join me in singing to Dolores Burchill, who will be celebrating her 95th birthday on Thursday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Our Ash Wednesday service this week, Wednesday, will be at 5:30. The following weeks of Lent will begin with worship service at 5:30, and following the service, we will be having our soup suppers. Don't forget that we have 2 more weeks for Undie Sundays. Okay, thank you. And our woodworking team is looking for more members. So the guy to see is Dave Torgensen. Thank you once again to our facilities team for continuing the work making our yard beautiful outside. They're hardy workers. 1 hour, one time. This is your opportunity to share your thoughts and your dreams and hopes for the future of Spirit of Hope. Please sign up today at the Narthex area by the front door. Finally, please read our newsletter online for additional activities and dates. Now, please rise for the singing of our first hymn.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, creator of darkness and light. Word of truth, wind, wind sweeping over the waters. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God, our rock and refuge, we pour out our hearts before you. We have known you, but have not always loved you. We have wounded one another and sinned against you. We have not always recognized the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. Remember your covenant. Renew your creation. Restore us that we might proclaim your good news to all. Amen. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God has spoken. The time of grace is now. In Jesus, the reign of God has come near. By the authority of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. We are God's beloved. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Let us pray. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son, and illumine the world with your image through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated.
Our strongest in our weakness. Good morning. Our reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians verses 3 through 6. The spotlight of Christian ministry is not on the people who carry out the ministry, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as God made light shine at creation, God makes the light of Jesus Christ shine in our lives through Christian ministry. The reading. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And ourselves as your slave for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Now please join me in reading responsibly Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God shines forth in glory. Our God will come and will not keep silence, with a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm. God calls the heavens and the earth from above. Witness the judgment of the people. Gather before me, my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. Heavens declare a rightness of God's call, for it is God who is the judge. This ends the psalm. Please rise for the gospel if you are able.
How many of you know what Sunday this is today? Oh, very good. It is up there. Oh, it was. Okay, you did read that then. Okay, good. You know, when I was a kid, we used to hear this story, and it never really made a whole lot of sense to me. You know, just Transfiguration Sunday, what does that mean? So kind of pay attention as we read through this, what the Transfiguration is all about. The Holy Gospel from Mark chapter 9, beginning with the second verse. 6 days later, 6 days after what? You'll hear about that in the sermon, so pay attention. There'll be a quiz. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, on the mountain, you revealed your glory to Peter, James, and John. And through them, you reveal it to us. Lord, let your light shine on us. Fill us with your light. Lord, let your light shine in and through us, that others may know your grace, your truth, your love. These things we pray in your name. Amen. Well, many years ago, and the emphasis is on many, I was a youth director at a large church in Columbia Heights, Minnesota. It's a suburb of Minneapolis. And I led a number of canoe trips with a youth group, a number of canoe trips up into the Boundary Water Canoe Area of Minnesota. How many of you have heard of that? How many of you have been there? Okay, great. Quite a few of you. Yeah, it's a beautiful area. Anyway, one of the trips we went on was the 4th of July. And on the 4th of July, we had a busy day portaging from one lake to another. And I don't know how many of you know what portaging means. It means you walk on a path between the lakes, and usually it's pretty rocky, and you're carrying a canoe, you know, that weighs about 75 pounds on your shoulders, with a backpack on your back, about 60, 65 pounds. And some of the portages are like a mile long, you know, and it's pretty grueling. And on the 4th of July, you know, it's kind of humid up there. And guess what else? A lot of mosquitoes. And, you know, you're kind of balancing the canoe so you can't, you know, smack the mosquitoes. I mean, it was terrible. Exhausted, we finally made it to our campsite. We set up camp, ate dinner, and secured the canoes for the night. Well, around 9 o'clock. You know, it started to get dark, and so we lit the campfire and had our devotions. And after singing a few songs, reading some scriptures, and sharing stories, we closed with a time of prayer. And as we were about to send everybody off to bed, one of the young people spoke up and said,
You know, I really love it up here in the North Woods. I mean, the night stars are so amazing. You feel like you can just reach out and touch them. They're just so bright. And I feel really close to God. But today is the 4th of July, and I really miss not having fireworks. And the others nodded in agreement. Well, about 30 seconds later, no more than that, a streak of light went across the sky. And then another and another, and soon the sky was just dancing with lights, all colors of the rainbow. Whoops. There we go. Okay, some of you have seen that before, and this picture just doesn't really do it justice because it was all colors of the rainbow and just dancing. And for the next 45 minutes, we had the most spectacular light show that I have ever witnessed. The oohs and the ahs of the young people echoed across the water. I mean, it was just amazing. And I've seen the aurora borealis, or the northern lights, many times, but none compared to that 4th of July. We were all filled with awe and great joy. We had received a special gift from God. You know, none of us wanted to leave the campfire that night. We had seen a glimpse of God's glory, and we wanted to hang on to it as long as we could. Now, some of you might have had similar experiences. I don't know if you can turn it down just a little. Is it echoing for you? No? It's echoing for me. Maybe it's just me. Okay. Anyway, some of you might have had similar experiences. We call those mountaintop experiences. And it could have been seeing the Grand Canyon or some other natural wonder for the first time, or witnessing the birth of a child, or, you know, some other amazing experience that you have had. Those moments, they give us the strength to go down the mountain and into the valleys and face the hardships of life. In the scripture passage immediately preceding our text for today, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter made the great confession, "You are the Messiah," or "You are the Christ." And Jesus then began to explain to them that he must suffer and die and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and said, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." And Peter wanted to protect Jesus. But his good intentions weren't God's intentions. Peter wanted things his way, not God's way. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He said that to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Now, the Hebrew word for Satan literally means advocate or adversary, or not advocate, adversary. Someone who stands in opposition to. Like Peter, you know, we often, well, most of the time I would say we want to do the right thing. But we sometimes get in God's way. We have a hard time letting go of our plans and letting God do God's plans. You know, when we want to be in control, and I don't know if any of you are like that. Any control freaks here? No. Okay. A few, perhaps. We want to do things our way, and we can become an adversary to God. Jesus went on to explain to the disciples that he must go the way of the cross. That's the path he must take. And that if they wanted to be his followers, they must also follow that path. He said, if any want to become my followers, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it. Well, here comes the 6 days. 6 days after Peter's great confession, 2 weeks before the crucifixion, is when the story of the transfiguration takes place. So now you can see where it fits into the whole story. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of a mountain to reveal the truth of who he really was. And there was no way that the disciples could have been prepared for what happened next. On the mountain, Jesus was transfigured right before their very eyes. And the Greek word is metamorphothe, from which we get metamorphosis. Jesus was changed, transformed as they watched. He was covered in brilliant light. His garments glistened with intense whiteness. And there appeared next to him two of the main characters of the Old Testament, Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, one of the greatest or the greatest prophet. And the symbolism was evident. The law and the prophets, major portions of the Old Testament. The glory of Jesus far outshone that of Moses and Elijah, signifying that in Jesus, God was doing a new thing. We're told that the disciples' initial reaction was fear. Fear. Out of control. Peter says, Rabbi, you know, it's really good to be here. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And Mark adds this commentary. He didn't know what to say because they were terrified. Can you imagine seeing Jesus transfigured before them? If that happened to us, we probably would be the same. Terrified. Peter was both inspired but also frightened by what he saw. And he wanted to capture that moment and stay there forever. Well, no sooner had Peter spoken when a cloud covered them. And a voice from within the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And perhaps this was a gentle reminder to Peter to stop and think before he spoke. You know, sometimes some of us have that same problem. We don't think about what we're going to say. We just blurt it out. We need to take time to really listen to Jesus, to take time out of our busy schedules each day to listen to Jesus. I recently heard of a church that chose 40 days of love as their theme for Lent. And each week, members of the congregation were encouraged to show their love and appreciation in different ways. And the first week, they were to send notes to people who had made a positive impact on their lives. And after the first service in this large congregation, a man in the congregation wanted to speak to the pastor. And this man was kind of a macho man, you know, a football player, and he loved to hunt and fish, and he was, you know, just big and strong, a self-made man. And he told his pastor, "You know, I love you and I love this church, but I'm not going to participate in this 40 days of love." You know, it's okay for some folks, but, you know, it's just a little too sentimental for me. Well, a week went by, and the next Sunday, the man waited for after church to see the pastor, and he said, "You know, I want to apologize for what I said last Sunday about the 40 days of love. I realized on Wednesday that I was wrong." "Wednesday?" the pastor responded. "What happened on Wednesday?" "Well, I got one of those letters," he said. And it came as a total surprise to him. You know, it was from a person he never expected to hear from. But that letter touched him so deeply that he carries it with him all the time. Every time I read it, he says, I get tears in my eyes. It was a transforming moment in the life of that man. He suddenly realized that he was loved by others in the church. And it filled his life with light and love and changed his entire outlook. I was so moved by that letter, he said, I sat down and I wrote 10 myself. The transfigured one is the one who can transform our lives if we just take time to listen and then live out what he has taught us. For the first disciples, the memories of that transfiguration would shine not only in the lives of Peter, James, and John, but also on all who heard that story. It was and is a confirmation of who Jesus is and a glimpse of his true glory. The story of the transfiguration is a reminder that Jesus is God's beloved Son. He is the light of the world, a world in which there is much darkness and despair. One of the great new hymns of the church is Shine, Jesus, Shine. It was written about 35 years ago, so that's really new for the church. You know, some of the hymns we sing go back 3,500 years to the time of Moses. You know, some of the songs are really old. So this is a brand new song for the church, written by Graham Kendrick. And it begins with the chorus, Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word and let there be light. That song is really a reflection of the glory of the transfiguration and also the power of Pentecost. You might recall that on the day of Pentecost, what happened? Tongues of fire came on the disciples, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They brought the light of God's word, the light of Jesus, not only to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. Jesus wouldn't let the disciples stay on the mountaintop. He led them down into the valleys, into the plains of the world, where most of life is lived, and where things grow. Where things grow. Things don't grow on the top of the mountain. Things don't grow. It might be beautiful up there, but things don't grow. They grow down in the valleys and in the plains. Jesus sends us out into the world, into the valleys of life, to lift up those who are in despair, to comfort the bereaved, to befriend the lonely, to bring food to the hungry, to provide shelter to the homeless, and to make a difference for good whenever and wherever we can. Jesus is the light of the world. Shine on us. Shine in us. Shine through us. Shine, Jesus, shine. Amen. At this time, we'll receive our tithes and offerings. And please sing. Excuse me. Let us pray together the offertory prayer. Blessed are you, Holy One, for all good things come from you. In bread and cup, you open heaven to us. Meet us at this table, that we receive what we seek, and follow your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all of creation. We pray for the church, that the transformational power of God enters the hearts of all people. May its leaders serve as examples of your grace and healing across time and space. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for creation, that we will humbly observe the swirl of wind and the heat of the bright sun. Teach us to honor all you have made and to care for the animals, plants, air, and bodies of water of this planet. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those charged with leadership, lawmaking, and governance of our towns, states, and countries, that they will strive for goodness and justice all the days of their lives and callings. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for any who are sick and suffering. We especially lift up Sue, Carrie. We also pray for comfort to the family of Linda Thomas, who passed away this past Thursday, and for others whom we name in our hearts before you now. Guide us to offer hospitality, shelter, friendship, and care to any in need. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this congregation and its ministry in the wider community. May we share the transforming beauty and love of God in ways that honor the dignity of all whom we encounter. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let us affirm our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And because of all the sicknesses that have been going around, we are not going to be sharing the peace with a hug, a kiss, or a handshake, but just a little wave. Peace. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to his table. If you have the communion elements at your place, you may take and eat at this time and also drink of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The congregation may be seated.
Please rise. May the body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace, his love, joy, peace, and light, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together the post-communion prayer. Giver of every gift, Christ's body is our food, and we are Christ's body. Raise us to life by your power, for the benefit of all and to your glory, now and forever. Amen. God who names you, Christ who claims you, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, bless you and remain with you always. Amen. The worship is over. Now let the service begin.
Thanks be to God.
Let your light shine.